Imagine, for a moment, an impossible journey. Taking off in a plane from eastern Bolivia, as I did, but doing so in 1000 AD, and flying a surveillance mission over the rest of the Western Hemisphere. What would be visible from the windows? 50 years ago, most historians would have given a simple answer to this question. Two continents of wilderness, populated by scattered bands, whose ways of life had changed little since the Ice Age. The sole exceptions would have been Mexico and Peru, where the Maya and the ancestors of the Inca were crawling toward the foothills of civilization. Today, our understanding is different in almost every perspective. Picture the millennial plane flying west, from the lowlands of the Beni to the heights of the Andes. On the ground, beneath, as the journey begins, are the causeways and canals one sees today, except that they are now in good repair and full of people. 50 years ago, the earthworks were almost completely unknown, even to those living nearby. After a few hundred miles, the plane ascends to the mountains, and again the historical picture has changed. Until recently, researchers would have said the highlands in 1000 AD were occupied by scattered small villages and one or two big towns with some nice stonework. But recent archaeological investigations have revealed that at this time the Andes housed two mountain states, each much larger than previously appreciated. The state closest to the Beni was based around Lake Titicaca, the 120-mile-long alpine lake that crosses the Peru-Bolivia border. Most of this region has an altitude of 12,000 feet or more. Summers are short. Winters are correspondingly long. This bleak, frigid land, wrote the adventurer Victor von Hagen, seemingly was the last place from which one might expect a culture to develop. But in fact, the lake is comparatively warm, and so the land surrounding it is less beaten by frost than the surrounding highlands. Taking advantage of the better climate, the village of Tiwanaku, one of many settlements around the lake, began after about 800 BC to drain the wetlands around the rivers that flowed into the lake from the south. 1,000 years later, the village had grown to become the center of a large polity, also known as Tiwanaku. Less a centralized state than a clutch of municipalities under the common religio-cultural sway of the center, Tiwanaku took advantage of the extreme ecological differences between the Pacific coast, the rugged mountains, and the Altiplano, the high plains, to create a dense web of exchange. Fish from the sea, llamas from the Altiplano, fruits, vegetables, and grains from the fields around the lake. Flush with wealth, Tiwanaku City swelled into a marvel of terraced pyramids and grand monuments. Stone breakwaters extended far out into Lake Titicaca, thronged with long-prowed boats made of reeds. With its running water, closed sewers, and gaudily painted walls, Tiwanaku was among the world's most impressive cities. University of Chicago archaeologist Alan L. Colata excavated at Tiwanaku during the 1980s and early 1990s. He has written that by 1000 AD, the city had a population of as much as 115,000, with another 250,000 in the surrounding countryside, numbers that Paris would not reach for another 5 centuries. The comparison seems fitting. At the time, the realm of Tiwanaku was the size of modern France. Other researchers believe this estimate is too high. 20 or 30,000 in the central city is more likely, according to Nicole Couture, a University of Chicago archaeologist who helped edit the definitive publication of Colata's work in 2003. An equal number, she said, occupied the surrounding countryside.